God. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14, and verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." 1 Peter 5, and verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Humbling yourselves to serve God. It is unfortunate that there are those in the world today who believe that they just simply cannot obey God's Word because there's not enough show about it. Because preaching or teaching the Word of God is not, quote-unquote, entertaining to the mass populace of the world. Is that what is actually important? Or is it simply doing what God has told us to do? Either for the child of God in continuing in faithful service, Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Or whether it is for the person who has never become a child of God, and they are considering whether or not they will obey the gospel. All of these precepts we've read from John 14, 1 Peter 5, all of these things come into play. Are you willing to simply do whatever it is that God teaches you to do? Really, yes or no? And if yes, well, why do you wait? And if no, why not? And we see from Genesis to Revelation, God giving forth laws that He expects men to obey. And they have either obeyed or not. And we have that record in the Bible. I want us to turn our attention now to 2 Kings chapter 5 and notice a man who was told to do something very simple. But he rejected such because he felt that the command was beneath him. Have we ever felt that way ourselves? Well, this is just simply too simple for me to do this. I'm more important than that. I ought to do something grand, something that will impress others. But in fact, what it is that God teaches us to do is exactly what is best for us. And we may or may not necessarily think so at the time. But should that matter? Or should we simply understand and know, believing that God is God and that His Word is in fact His most holy Word given to us, to guide us, that it is all sufficient in all things that we need, 2 Peter 1:3, and that all blessings are ours through our knowledge of Him and through the Christ, Ephesians 1:3, knowing that we can partake of those blessings if we obey? Or do we reject what God has told us to do? As we open 2 Kings chapter 5, we have a man of Syria, a captain of the host of Syria by the name of Naaman. And I'm sure that many of you are familiar with what's going to be happening here. You've heard of Naaman, the Syrian captain, and his leprosy, and his dealings with Elisha. Now, Elisha probably did more miracles that are recorded anyway in the Old Testament than any other. It is recorded that he did more miracles even than Elijah did. All of these things being to confirm God's Word through Elisha, to exalt God's name and His power through Elisha before the people. Of course, at this point, as we open the book of 2 Kings, of course, is the transition from Elijah to Elisha, the translation of Elijah into the realm of paradise, being taken away by a flaming chariot and so forth. Well, Elisha was his minister before this time, and he steps into Elijah's office as God's prophet here. Now, as we begin in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." Now, leprosy, of course, in the days of the Old Testament, and of course even in the New, and even today is a very deadly disease. And many, many people would die from these things. And of course, under the law of Moses, one who was a leper was to be outside of the camp, away from the regular people. They were to have a separate dwelling. And they were to go about saying, unclean, unclean. They were cast away from the regular people. And so it is, even among others, that having leprosy was not a thing that was good for you to have, obviously, let alone just the fact of what the disease could do to your body. Now, verse 2 says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." And so here is the source by which Naaman will find out about a possible way for him to be cured of his leprosy. This is the point through which Naaman will come in contact with the Word of God. "She said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She's talking about Elisha. "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." And so even the king of Syria, the man for whom Naaman worked, was interceding as well. "Here is someone in Israel that can cure this captain of mine. And so I will send a present to the king of Israel and beseech him that Naaman might be cleansed." Well, he brought the letter to the king of Israel, remembering now that we're in the time of the divided kingdoms. There were the 10 northern tribes called Israel, the 2 southerly tribes called Judah, which included Judah and Benjamin. And Israel was without fail after the time, including Jeroboam, all the way to the end of their taking away into Assyrian captivity, that some 200 years of history that they were without fail only with an evil and corrupt king. And so this king of Israel was a corrupt man disobeying God. And he says to this letter, "Now when this letter was come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes." Great anxiety because of this letter sent to him. And it says, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send me unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" Well, the king is right that he isn't God, but his attitude isn't right. Why was he not overjoyed that someone was coming unto Israel seeking a man of God to recover this man of his leprosy? And he says, "Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." So this king of Israel was saying, "Well, here's somebody asking of me something I can't do so that he can find fault with me." Well, we see the evil in this king. Now notice verse 8. "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?" What is the reason for this great anxiety in you? "Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." This king should have declared, "Yes, there is a prophet in Israel. There is a man of God. God is with him and will do this great work if it pleases God." But no, the king of Israel was not so inclined. Well, Elisha is stepping forth as he should in declaring that there is a prophet of God in Israel. And so now this affair has come to Elisha and before God. Verse 9. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." And so he is now at the very place where he can receive cleansing. "And Elisha sent a messenger unto Naaman, unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Cleansing by being baptized in the Jordan 7 times. No, this is not the same baptism of the New Testament, but the idea is there. He was to wash himself, dip himself 7 times in the water of the river Jordan. And if he so did, he should be clean. But notice that it says that Elisha sent a messenger. Naaman came, but he came with presupposed ideas as to how he should be clean. He came to the man of God with an idea of how he should be cleansed. I will surely do such and such because I am who I am. Notice the furtherance of the reading. Notice now at verse 11 that Naaman was wroth. He was greatly incensed or angry and went away and said, "Behold," this is very key, "behold, I thought." I had thoughts as to how these things should transpire, but they didn't. And so now I'm greatly angered. "I thought he," the man of God, "will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Well, this is what Naaman thought ought to be done. Was he more concerned about doing whatever it was that God told him to do? Or was he more concerned that it be done according to the way that I desire it? Remember 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that what? That He may exalt you in due time." Would Naaman be exalted if he did what he desired, or would he be exalted, that is, that he would be cleansed, if he did what God told him to do? No, he spurned at the first what God told him to do because it wasn't what he thought he ought to do, or what he wanted to do, or that which was beneath his station as a great captain of the land of Syria. He goes on to say in verse 12, "Are not Abinah and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, that of his own land, better than all the waters of Israel? I can go home and find better water than the Jordan," so he says. "May I not wash in them and be clean? These waters are better. Why can't I just wash myself seven times in either of these rivers? My own rivers. Aren't they just as good? Can we substitute what God has told us to do and be pleasing to God?" Naaman wanted to. He wanted to go home to his own rivers and use them. Well, he says he turns and goes away in a rage. Now notice that his servants come to him, verse 13, and speak wisdom to him. Now this does show Naaman's heart. He was at the first a rejecter of God's word, but then he listens to reason. This is typical of some in the world. At first they reject the word of God, but after they contemplate on it, and perhaps someone can help them, they realize that it is reasonable and right to do whatever it is that God has commanded us to do. Notice now verse 13. "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it?'" Of course Naaman would have done it, so he said earlier in previous verses, "How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? You would have done a great thing, so why not do the simple thing?" And this made sense to Naaman. And so it should to us. We think we should do some great thing. There should be some great ceremony, some great denominational ceremony for our cleansing from sin, instead of simply obeying the Word of God. Which is more important? Which should happen? Which is right? Doing what we thought ought to be, or what we know from God's Word is in fact right? Well, let us see which one worked. Notice as we go through the furtherance of the verses. Now verse 14. "Then went he down." What did Naaman do? He repented. He changed his mind and acted upon change. Naaman repented. "And he went down and dipped himself seven times," or baptized himself seven times in the River Jordan. What does it say? "According to the saying the man of God." He simply did what God commanded to be done. And what was the outcome of that obedience? "And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Do we think, could we possibly be arrogant enough to think, like Naaman did, that he could have went to the rivers of Damascus or any other place or did any other thing than that which God had commanded, and he would come away clean, cleansed from his leprosy? No. There was no chance of that being the case. Now notice the outcome in Naaman's mind. Verse 15, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." And it goes on, there's further, and of course concerning Gehazi, Elisha's servant, and so forth. But notice what happened. Now, if we examine verse 15, Naaman rejoiced that he was clean. He came back to Elisha and said, "There is no other God but the God of Israel." Now, what if Elisha had said, "Well, that's okay. Naaman, you can go back to Syria and wash yourself there in those rivers. It really doesn't matter." Do you think then that for one, that Naaman would have been cleansed, and secondly, that Naaman would have said that the God of Israel is the only God? Absolutely not. What do we do if we tell someone, "Well, it doesn't really matter whether you're baptized or not, whether you really obey the gospel or not, whether you're a member of the Lord's church or not. You can be a part of some other religious group and it's just as good. We're all going down the same road to one place." No, Elisha says. No, the Word of God says. There is but one way. Did not Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? "No man cometh unto me, or cometh unto the Father, but by me." There's one way. There was one way for Naaman to be cleansed, and that was by obeying the Word of God. You see, Naaman, at the first, wasn't willing to humble himself. No, I'm mad, I'm leaving. Elisha didn't do what I thought he should. Do we do that sometimes? Maybe the preacher from the pulpit says that you need to do certain things because the Word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord." So, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to. It makes me mad. I won't do it. Here's what the book says. Right here. There it is. You study with someone, trying to convert them. "No, I won't obey that. Don't you know? I don't have to do that. You're too conservative. You're just a legalist. All you want is just do whatever the book says. The book, the book, the book." You know, some people say that. "You're too full of the Word of God." How can anybody be too full of the Word? Those are concerns and considerations that people pour forth out of ignorance and rebellion against God. When what they should do is exactly what Naaman did. "I'll do what God told me to do." He had no results until he obeyed. Will we have results? Will we live righteously before God until we do what he tells us to do? Can we have assurance of eternal life until we do what God tells us to do? Are you rebellious? I pray that you're not. Have you rebelled against God in times past? Have you repented of that rebellion and prayed unto God for forgiveness if you're a child of God, or if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church and you've lived in rebellion against God because you thought, "Well, I should do something else besides these simple steps that the New Testament teaches we must"? Will you turn away from that and be faithful unto God? You have to make up your mind whether you're willing to humble yourself or not. Learn the lesson of Naaman. Learn the simple lesson that Elisha, preaching God's Word, told him, "Go and dip yourself 7 times in the river Jordan." The New Testament teaches us to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. 5 easy steps. Were you willing to do it? If you have the attitude that Naaman had at the last, you will. Will you be cleansed of your sin from this great leprosy, disease of sin that engulfs all those who are disobedient and will carry you into a devil's hell? You can be cleansed if you obey the Word of God. But that's the only way. Paul said that the Word of God is God's power to save man. Will you partake of that power? Will you receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul? Now's the chance. You realize it may be your only chance. Here, now, at this very hour. Will you take advantage of it? I pray that you will. If you're here this morning and not a member of the Lord's Church, you need to become a member of the Lord's Church. If you're here today and you are a child of God, but you're not serving God as you should, you need to humble yourself. Repent of those sins. Confess them as widely as they're known and pray unto God for forgiveness of sin. Will you do that? God is imploring that you do so. God is demanding that you do so. We ask that you do. We hope that you will. What is your state this morning? Now is the time as we stand and as we sing.